This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order on Wednesday, setting a goal to ban the sale of new gas vehicles within 15 years. The Newsom administration says the move will slash greenhouse gas and nitrogen oxide emissions. But Newsom's executive order is likely to face opposition from automakers and Republican leaders in Washington who have already battled the state over its stricter fuel economy rules. Looking forward, what does that mean? A good old-fashioned legal fight. Today, we talk about the murky legal future of Newsom's executive order. It's Friday, September 25th, and I'm Anthony Dragna.
By 2035, in the next 15 years, we will eliminate in the state of California the sales of internal combustion engines. We will move forward to green and decarbonize our vehicle fleet here in the state of California.
So that was California Governor Gavin Newsom on Wednesday, announcing his new climate-driven executive order. Today we're talking with Eric Wolf, who's been following this story. So Eric, what did Gavin Newsom's order say exactly?
He made a big splash. He said that by 2035, you will not be able to buy a new gasoline-powered car or diesel-powered truck in the state of California. So they will go zero emissions. He also threw in there some plans to do some more stuff with rail and mass transit and some other things. But the big one is in 2035, if you want to buy a car, it's going to be an electric vehicle. And that's it. That's, you know, only 15 years from now. 2035 used to seem really a long time, but so did 2020. And here we are.
And when I saw this story, immediately I was wondering, does Newsom have the legal authority to do this?
Right at this very second, no. California does not, at this very moment, have that authority.
So if he has no legal authority, how did he issue the ban?
It's interesting, when you look at a presidential executive order, it is filled with legal authorities. They say, under this law, we can do this. Under this law, we can do this. And so, sure, there's often challenges. People don't agree with the exact law, but they cite authorities. Newsom's executive order from yesterday has none of that. There are no authorities cited whatsoever. He just says we're going to do a bunch of things and directs his agencies to do them. The California Air Resources Board, which has the responsibility for actually writing the rules here that would implement this ban and phased out hybrid vehicles and everything else, their position is we're going to win the court case.
Why was now the right time to make this move?
These timelines keep moving up as the technology gets cheaper and the urgency grows. I mean, massive wildfires, huge hurricanes. I guess the message is starting to get through that climate change is a real thing that's happening and hurting us.
What does Governor Newsom's order have to do with the Clean Air Act?
All right, so we have to do a little bit of a history lesson here. The Clean Air Act said, all right, federal government's going to start setting fuel efficiency standards in order to cut down on pollution from burning gasoline. But actually, California, you've been doing this for a while already, so we're not going to take it away from you. We're going to say that EPA can grant you a special waiver to keep pushing your own fuel efficiency standards because you've done such a great job so far. We're not going to punish you for being first. Under the Obama administration, we had a big negotiation that kind of resulted in some fairly stringent standards that assumed a bunch of electric vehicles would come onto the market in coming years. Enter Donald Trump.
All of this with the global warming and that, and a lot of it's a hoax. It's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry. Okay.
His administration hates rules, doesn't think climate change is real, hates everything the Obama administration did. So we have opposition to anything that California wants to do. The National Highway Transit and Safety Administration, along with the EPA, issues a rule saying, no more waiver for you, California. You now have to do what the rest of the country is doing. Point is that California's authority to do something like prevent you from buying a gasoline vehicle seems to be, according to various sources I spoke to, not something they can do.
And what do former EPA officials say about this?
I talked to Joe Goffman, former air advisor in Obama EPA, I should say. I talked to Jeff Homestead, former air chief in the George W. Bush EPA. Not two people who agree on a great deal, but they agree that the legality here is pretty dubious. California doesn't have the waiver anymore. So right at this moment, they actually don't have authority.
Do you think this legal battle between California and the federal government could head to the Supreme Court?
I know I just, like said, 2035, not that far away. Well, in car terms, it's not that far away. But in political terms, it's many lifetimes. Who knows what the court will look like in 2035? And 2035, in that respect, is a long time from now. The court has traditionally been either a lagging indicator of popular sentiment or just slightly ahead, as a lot of legal scholars will point out. They are not often like shattering norms. They're often affirming things that have already happened. By the time we get to 2035, electric vehicles may already have so much inertia that the court won't even bother opposing it. Like, this may just be a non-issue in 15 years at the rate this conversion is taking place. So it will be interesting to see.
And let's say Joe Biden wins the 2020 election. The EPA policies are now in his control. What happens then?
If the Biden administration wins, surely they will reinstate the waiver, but that doesn't really make the case go away, because the refiners and any, I don't know that there are automakers on that case, but there are states who support EPA or the current waiver position, and there are petroleum makers who support the idea of getting rid of the waiver, and the case will continue moving forward.
Eric, thanks for chatting with me.
All right, thanks.
Also, on Thursday, the House passed a sprawling clean energy and workforce development package, largely along party lines. The bill authorizes $135 billion in spending on clean energy technology research that would be helpful in addressing climate change. Democrats argued that the bill, known as the Clean Economy Jobs and Innovation Act, would boost the next generation of clean energy technologies and make a meaningful dent in addressing climate change. Republicans were not impressed with the package, which they complained throughout the week included modified bipartisan provisions that are not acceptable and would raise costs on citizens throughout the country. The legislation also divided the environmental community. Proponents of the bill hope it can still be the basis for negotiations on a compromise package with the Senate this year, if the other chamber succeeds in passing its version of an energy bill. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Our producers this week are Adrian Hirst, Nirmal Malaikal, and Carlos Prieto. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmet, and Irene Noguchi is our executive producer. Our editor is Matt Daly. And on the show this week, Alex Guillen, Zach Coleman, Ben Lefebvre, and Eric Wolf. Thanks, and we'll be back again on Monday.
Chevron has spent over $1 billion building one of the largest integrated carbon capture and storage facilities, capable of capturing up to 4 million tons a year. Learn more at chevron.com/possibilities.